welcome, Mr. Farid Karam.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Who is Mr. Farid Karam?
Thank you very much, Derek. Farid Karam is an entrepreneur.
Right.
In almost all different sectors, I should say.
Right.
Agriculture, tourism, marketing, consultancy, and many others.
I almost forgot about the Mulima.
Safaris,
which is your arm for agro-tourism.
Yeah.
Maybe at some point you'd speak into
yeah,
that,
sure.
How you also help farmers to, how you help people who would like to get into farming.
Yeah.
You expose them
yeah.
before they make the decision.
Yeah, yeah, so I have over 18 years of experience in the agribusiness world.
Yes.
I started when I was still very young. And my late brother introduced me in the agribusiness world.
Right.
But my background is IT, information technology. Mm-hmm. But I found myself in this space of agriculture.
Right.
And I always tell people agriculture is my everything. Wow. Because where I am today, it's because of the agriculture. That's a very good question. I think when I started being exposed to agriculture, visiting the farm, moving with my brother
mm-hmm.
around, and so the opportunities that are there, and there was that element of supporting smallholder farmers. Eh? I saw, okay, IT, how does it support anyone else? It supports maybe big industries, but that small farmer down there, how is she or he going to be benefited?
Mm-hmm.
So that sparked my mind and said, I think this is an area that I can also be part and see how we can grow these people at the same time improving their livelihoods. Yeah, so that's where I found myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, with my IT skills, I still do some small, but not really much.
Right.
I should say 90% of my time now is agriculture.
Pure agriculture.
And I think I've inspired very many people from different backgrounds to join agriculture. Because by just sharing with them my story, and they believe and they see what I do is practical, then they always come and join. Very good question. Agriculture is everything, like I said. It has the money, but you need to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the most important thing I always tell people. It has the money. If you want all the good money, it's in agriculture. But patience is key.
Many people say it looks like it's white gold. It's not something real.
No, it's real. If you're in there, that's when you feel the real what is happening in agriculture.
Yes.
But if you're that person and you've not seen, you've not visited any farm, then you won't really feel the realness of what agriculture is.
Are you referring to telephone farmers?
There are very many. There are very many telephone farmers who just sit and call, call and say, have you sprayed, have you done this, have you planted this, and not knowing what is on the ground, the things are not happening.
Yeah.
The day you go and visit, you see nothing is there, then that's the day you either faint or you say agriculture is not a good venture, because you're not on the ground. I always tell people that at least when you're starting agriculture, make sure the first 3 years you give it your time.
Okay.
Put the systems in place. Understand the dynamics. Then, after that, managers and everything, once you yourself have understood how to manage your farm.
Let me paint a scenario.
Yeah.
I'm gainfully employed. I have a remote piece of land somewhere.
Yeah.
I would like to venture into agriculture as a side hustle, but also maybe and a business, not just to take care of an additional income for myself, but to employ other people and be of relevance to the community around me. I don't want to leave my job and go and stay in the farm.
You need to create some time.
How do you advise me to get into agriculture? And which segment would be best to join? Is it the primary agriculture? Is it the logistics? Is it the processing? Is it to how do you advise someone to make a decision?
Yeah, one, I would say you need to create time, because I don't think weekends you're working, you're a full day job, so you need to go and at least participate in whatever you're doing on that small piece of land.
Yes.
And the other thing I always tell people there, when you're starting agriculture, you need to look where your passion will take you. because there are three levels. Either you're in the production, the digging part,
right,
then the processing and the marketing. So where you see your strength is where you should put your efforts. So someone might go and start the digging and yet he's good at maybe marketing.
Okay.
Yeah. So why don't you just go and buy produce and you sell? Or you were interested in adding value. Why don't you invest in equipment, source the raw materials from smallholder farmers, and you process and you market? Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so let's come back to the story of Salma Foods.
Yeah.
How long has it been in existence?
Wow, Salma Foods has been in existence, I think, for now over 20 years.
How did you start? How have you maintained it? I mean, many businesses don't survive their second birthday.
That is true. I think our late brother, who started the business, was called Abdul Karim Farid. He started the business. And how he started it was because he was into the rally driver.
Okay.
But when he visited Ruero and he saw a lot of pineapples moving up, and he told people, I think I need to come here. And this is where I see where my feeling is telling me to come.
Right.
And he went there, bought the first piece of land, and started slowly getting familiarized with the community. And that's how Salma Foods came to be, you know, realized. And the beauty about it, he involved the family. You know, some people, you want to start something, but you want to do it on your own.
Okay.
You feel that my family might take over and everything. But he involved the family, he involved the wife, he involved us, the brothers and the sisters. So we have walked the journey, and that's where we also got the inspiration to be in agriculture.
Yes.
Because if Salma wasn't there, I wouldn't be here talking about agriculture opportunities and all that. So time came, we are part of the business, looking at the different dynamics, because I started working with Salma, I think, in 2007,
immediately
after my secondary school. And actively working, but before I was actually going there, visit the farm, but I started working in as an operations manager.
Right.
And after 2 years, I was the managing director.
Wow.
Until when I got so busy, I said, no, I can always take up an advisory role and support in one or the other. But maybe I feel that myself, Salma, has actually made me who I am today.
Right.
Because if I didn't get that inspiration, I wouldn't be speaking about agriculture.
Right.
You mentioned about the family businesses. Some don't spend 3 years in existence. With Salma, we have seen there's a togetherness among us, the family.
Okay.
I think that's very key. And we are focused. We're looking at the generations coming behind us to continue. Because as Salma, we've created a brand.
Yes.
Internationally.
Yeah.
Go to the Middle East and talk about Salma Foods. Because we're the first company to open up the Middle East market. Before anyone going there, in Oman, that was our first market for fresh fruits and vegetables.
And that was exporting pineapples?
Exporting pineapples, mm-hmm. bananas, jackfruit, all name it.
And all you grow at the farm?
We grow at the farm.
Okay.
Yeah, but also sourcing them from smallholder farmers.
Right.
So working together and also making sure that the family understand that this we are in together, but let's make it professional.
Right.
When we go back home, it's family time.
Okay.
But when we're at business, it's business. That's okay. One thing people forget.
Yes.
Like someone can come and just say, get me that money, get me this, because it's a family business.
So that is a capacity to differentiate family from the business. Like you give the business its own identity, and then you get the family to understand the role that they play
in the business.
I also see purpose in this. That when your brother, he saw rest in peace, when I was young, I used to watch a lot of rally driving. So I remember him in the arena driving the rally cars. He had a purpose that he was able to sell to you, meaning that Salma Foods wasn't started just to meet the needs.
No.
And that was ingrained in you. And that has helped the business to sustain itself longer than the founder. And it got everyone else involved because you saw the end goal and you still see the end goal.
True. Because the whole thing is, how do we improve the livelihood of the smallholder farmers in the parts of Luwero and other areas where we're working?
Yes.
Masaka, Mpiji, Lugazi. Because these farmers, yes, they're there, they can produce, but there's the market.
Right.
So we are saying you produce and we are the market.
Yes.
And we give them very good prices.
Right.
And that's why we have farmers that we started with 20 years ago. Up to now, we are still working with them.
If you don't mind me asking,
yeah.
Currently, how many farmers are you working with?
So because we are in the organic space,
yes.
So we if you look at the whole farmer group that we are working, we are 1,000+ farmers.
Right.
But those that we have gone ahead to certify, yes. Around 180.
So there is certified. Also certification of the farmers?
Of the farmers to attain the organic certification.
Organic standards.
And that's a cost on our side, which is very expensive because the farmers can't afford it.
Right.
Because our market is organic.
Yes.
And if you tell the farmer, say that I can't afford it. So we take them through that process as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if a farmer is watching this and they would like to be certified,
yeah.
As organic farmers, what is the process like?
Yeah, so we have certifying bodies here in Uganda. I think one would be UGOSAT, that's the Uganda Organic Standards, through with in partnership with the National Organic Movement, that is NOGAM. So there's always a detailed information about how you can get certified organically.
Right.
But for a first-time person going into the organic business or you want to do organic, you have to go through a conversion period for 1 year,
okay.
Before you're doing anything. Because okay. We believe that you've sprayed a lot on your land,
yes.
So we need to rest a bit for 1 year so that all the chemicals are actually not in after 1 year. So that's why we call it a conversion period.
Okay.
Yeah, then after that, then we can start the process. There are a lot of things that we look at for you to get a certification.
Okay. Do you have specific products that you certify?
Yes.
Is it market-driven or is it just open?
It's market-driven.
Yes.
And for the pineapples, that's our number one product.
Okay.
Because that's what took us in Luwe. Yeah.
Okay.
And up to now, that's the product that actually we can say that that's our number one product.
Right.
That we can always say, yes, with that, we are sorted. The others are other products, sweet potatoes, the vegetables. Because here we're looking at two markets. We have the export market and also the local market.
The local market.
So in terms of the local market in regards to the fresh, we participate during there's normally an organic market,
right.
In Zambia, yes. Behind the American embassy,
right.
Which Sulma participated in developing that market.
Right.
So Sulma, Caritas and Nogama,
right.
Developed that market. Right. And it's doing well. So all the vegetables that is grown at Sulma and from the other farmers is taken every Saturday. Of the organic market.
So if someone wants to buy some of the organic fresh produce that Soma Foods grows or outsources from its certified farmers and also processes, they can find them every Saturday
behind
the American embassy.
It's a place called Cardinal Subuga.
Cardinal Subuga.
Yeah, that's where. Every Saturday. And normally what we do, we receive orders on time.
Okay.
And Friday orders coming, and Saturday orders are actually. And right now, when we were starting, we would see many people coming.
Right.
But now we're putting some efforts to make it convenient for everyone that you press your order, we deliver to your home.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is working out, and we have plans to see that we put other points in Nigeria, until we see how best we can capture, because people are now looking at organic products.
Right.
It's healthy, and there is value for that.
Okay, now that's the local market.
Yeah. There now for the export.
Yes.
We mainly before we were exporting a lot to the Middle East. Like I said, we were the pioneers in the open up the Middle East market.
Right.
And right now we have very many exporters now who are benefiting from it. So the market has actually become. It's not really, and for us as Soma, we feel, at the moment we feel it's not the right market for us at the moment.
Right.
And we said, okay, let's focus on value addition that we export. So this farmer who is selling the fresh pineapple,
yes.
That is no longer going for export, let's add value to it.
Okay.
By processing it into a dried form.
Right.
And right now we have currently the market in Japan.
Okay.
Which takes most of our dried food products.
Okay.
And we have a lot of inquiries in Singapore, Malaysia, even neighboring Kenya.
Right.
And last time when we were in Kenya for the TBN of conference,
yes.
I think we got also a lot of inquiries about the guidelines.
Right.
Which we followed up. There are some hotels who are interested because, you know, the Ugandan pineapple is actually sweeter than the Kenyan pineapple. Japan is still our main market for that.
Yes.
And for the local market, it has been hard for us to penetrate with the dried fruits.
Right.
Because someone, when you go to a shelf and the pineapple pack is 5,000 shillings, 100 grams, so the mind goes to a person and says, but I can go and get fresh pineapples, three of them.
At 5,000.
At 5,000. Eh? So why? What value is it? They don't know that we go through a lot of process to make this. Because
right.
for you to get 1 kilogram of the dried pineapple, you need 13 to 15 kilograms.
Wow.
And you need 13 hours in the drying.
Wow.
You know? But when people visit our processing facility, that's when they understand, okay, that's all this make this really appreciate.
Okay, so is it open for people to come and
yes,
visit?
Yes, it's open.
Like to?
It's open once you make an early booking, because one of the our core objectives is we want people to get exposed,
okay,
and get to learn about agriculture,
right.
But also have fun in a farm.
Yes,
and our farm is more of education.
Okay,
you won't see a lot of music. But it's more fun, practical. You're learning about animals, you're feeding the animals. But also there's something that we started called Pineapple Hunt.
Okay.
Whereby you come, go to a pineapple farm, like 2-acre, 3-acre farm.
Yes.
And we tell you guys, go and look for this kind of pineapple. It must be this and this and this. You get it, that's yours. So you go, you spend 30 minutes looking for that pineapple, but we know where the spots. So that's okay. The pineapple hunting we talk about. So,
right.
And by the time people leave, already they get to know that, okay, I think I can select this enterprise, but I can't start.
Beyond the pineapple farming itself, I know it's the main crop that Soma Foods is involved in right from the start, you know, over two tickets. Are there any other crops? Like if I'm a farmer and I'm not interested in going into pineapple farming, but I have other crops that I would like to learn about. Are there such crops at Soma Farm that they can come and see?
Yes, they are. Before, I think 10, 15 years ago, Soma Foods was doing a lot on its own on the farm.
Right.
But we found out that it's not sustainable.
Okay.
Continue doing all that 90% of producing and looking for the market. So we thought, let's provide this as an additional income to the farmers. Let them grow for us.
Okay.
And what we are growing at Sulima is just less than 10%.
Okay.
So that means we are now a demonstration farm.
Okay.
So you come at Sulima Foods, you'll see different things. You'll see vegetables, both grown outdoor and indoor.
Okay.
You'll see local chicken.
Okay.
Yeah, because
like you can help someone learn how to keep the local chicken
and feeding it on vegetables
on massive scale.
Yeah, true.
And make money off it.
Yeah. You know, when you in agriculture, when you're going to make money, it still comes back to the passion you have.
Okay.
Because if you don't have the passion, you're not going to invest.
Right.
You know, I have a friend of mine who 2 months ago I visited, and I told him start small. I told him, as you start small, if you feel you want to invest more, invest. You'll see, you know, as long as you have the right people to guide you.
Right.
And it's also important. When you're starting farming, you need to have also the right people to move with you. There's always this, I think it's always on TikTok or something, that someone says, I started a farm with one egg.
No, with one feather.
With one feather. You know? So, you know, there are those kind of motivational people.
Yeah.
You'll even go and say, let me invest and see.
Yes.
Then it hits you, then you say family. I always tell people, start with what you have.
Right.
And move with the right people. Move with you. Because there are mistakes we have made, and there are lessons that we can share that next time when you're doing something, don't go and do this. There's a farmer who approached me some years back and said, I had a very big land. I saw you guys doing pineapples. I put 20 acres of pineapples at a go. But I waited for 18 months. I only harvested less than that. I said, but what did you do? I just put and left.
Mm-hmm.
I would come once in a while to weed and all that and left. And this is a crop that also needs management.
Right.
And if you just leave, it's like human beings.
Right.
If you don't look after yourself, then, you know, you'll either become sick or something like that. So,
right.
Passion drives everything. And passion drives agriculture. If you have the passion, and passion, you can get always the passion.
Right.
By getting the information from the right people who have made it in agribusiness.
There is the, at some point, you started Africa
Agribusiness
Academy.
Yeah.
And then, I think 6 or so years ago, you recommended Selma Foods to join TBN and the other programs.
Yeah.
And Selma Foods went through our program. And you've been one of our consistent entrepreneurs. And the things that you guys have achieved are massive.
Yeah.
And that part explains why you're here to tell the story. What value did you derive, or what did you see?
Yeah, I think participating in the TBN program opened our minds.
Right.
You know, listening to the different facilitators, but also getting connected with a certain group or the network, you know,
right.
You get to share a lot of information. So at Suma, we always value the networks.
Right.
I think the networks that we got at TBN, at least up to now,
right.
We're actually working together. And there are those that we had not met physically, but when we met in the Nairobi, you know, now concretized.
The Nairobi Investment
Summit.
Last year.
And after that Nairobi Summit, we had very many people actually coming to Suma.
Wow.
From members of TBN.
Wow.
So that really showed that there's a network that we have created and we communicate.
Right.
But also in terms of the capacity building that we gained a lot, I didn't participate, but... I think the other directors participated. There's a lot of things that we didn't have in place. Some information that we were lacking as a business, but through the trainings, the investor readiness and all that.
Right.
I think right now when you tell us to come and pitch, you can actually pitch a very good idea to you guys. And you know. So I think there's that exposure that we have got.
Yes.
And the facilitators are actually practical. You know, there's having facilitators for those sessions who are more theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
But these are people who are also business-minded people. They're in business, so they know these dynamics.
Right.
So I think with that, we blended well.
Right.
And we see that, the future is bright.
Right.
And as Suma, we're still growing.
Yes.
Yeah, we're still growing. We're still pushing our brand. Because 20 years ago, and we have been, you know, pushing business. Yeah, we are penetrating, and we believe that in the coming few years, we should be among the, you know, the pioneers or big guys in Uganda who actually recognize as the organic producers in Uganda. Because with the organic, there are different dynamics, and the organics looks at supporting smallholder farmers. So if these farmers are really happy and they are growing, then it's all happening.
Right.
But if we are working with these farmers and they're not happy, they're still the same. Actually, when you visit Luwero and you visit some of the farmers that I've said who have worked with us 20 years up to now, they're still supplying us, they'll tell you the story. They'll even show you, I had my house there. It was a mad house. I went to that. Now I'm on this.
Wow.
I take my schools to better school, my children to better schools because of school.
Wow.
Because when you say we are going to work with you, then you know we are going to buy your product.
Right.
We're not going to come and say, no, tomorrow we don't need your product.
Okay.
And that's why sometimes we have other people go and buy pineapples from Luero, and we normally get many Kenyan trucks coming there.
Mm-hmm.
And they always call it. So, are you taking next week? Then you say, no, I'm not taking. So should we go? Should we give this people? Then you say, so that's the loyalty that we actually built with them,
right.
And the community around the world, and you know, so we are together.
Right.
So whatever challenges they face, it's also the same things that actually we face, because we want to see them happy. We work with different communities in the world, the churches, the mosques, because we feel we are sent to do that to them. And it was a blessing that our brother visited Luwero and saw the potential.
Right.
And right now, we just need to move forward and share the knowledge. Those who are interested to join agriculture, to come and join us. Because Sulma alone and the others cannot feed the nation. We need very many people.
Right.
And the demand either for organic products is going to increase soon.
Right.
So we need many players in the organic space to come and through this.
Well, thank you. There's something that I think you'll give pronouncements to. The access to markets.
Yeah.
You have a process that you help. You help other farmers get markets beyond the pineapples, pineapple farmers and the like. You have a network.
Yeah. So with the experience with Sulma,
yes,
I saw that Sulma it's a business on its own.
Right.
It can't go again, start looking for market for another company for your product.
Right.
What we have is what we can do.
Okay.
To support the smallholder farmers.
Yes.
So 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, then I sat down and said, but there's a lot of potential that these processors, the farmers, have their products, but they want to see their products on the shelves.
Right.
But there are some things that they need to have in place for them to reach a supermarket like Carrefour.
Right.
For them to go to a supermarket or to go to export.
Right.
They don't have the export license, and getting those sometimes it's hard for them because it's costly.
Yes.
So we started AfriSoko Connect.
AfriSoko
Connect.
Connect.
Yeah. So AfriSoko, with my experience working with different processors, other companies, because I work closely with companies, small and medium,
right,
supporting them in branding, marketing and all that. But someone will tell you, I have a good brand, but I don't know how to penetrate.
Right.
Or you're a small company, but you don't have the time or the investment to put into maybe getting a sales team,
right,
to go out there. So we're saying, yes, let us do it for you.
Okay.
As long as you have a UNBS, UNBS mark,
okay,
that you can penetrate in the supermarkets, then give us your product, we'll market, and we share on a commission on,
right,
that. But in the 2 years that we have been in existence, many people have been coming to tell us that, no, I think you're doing a lot for us, because you're even advising us on product development, how to brand, how to do it, because we don't brand something that is not good,
right,
good quality, because at the end of the day, it's going to affect our image as a result. So what we do, for example, we come and look at your product, the packaging, then we can advise, improve on the packaging,
okay,
or do something like this. Because at the end of the day, we're the ones going to sell your product.
Right.
So we have tried to sell some of the products,
right,
and I'm happy that Sulma is part of our network that we're supporting in terms of... So the concept here, why do you hire a marketing team? Let us do the marketing.
Right.
Let us market you online. Let us manage your social media so that people can feel that your product. So. With the feedback for these 2 years, people are saying that we are doing beyond what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And on a commission basis, is something very little.
Right.
So we actually plan to officially launch it, I think in February this year, whereby we have a package where we want to say, if you give us this amount of money, all your marketing and sales will shut. And there are some people who are deep down in the villages, but they cannot access the Carrefours, the whatever supermarkets.
Right.
So we say, no, let us approach them.
Let
us on your behalf.
Right.
They pay us, then we shall always pay.
Right.
So that's how, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if sometimes if you don't have certification of the UNBS,
yes.
So we have a program that we are going to work out with them, with one of the departments, to see that you come as a group and maybe the cost can be lowered down for getting standards, because that's one of the things. Right now, supermarkets, if you don't have UNBS, you can't
right.
So that's also the service we want to bring to the SMEs who are the value. But let's come together, we approach UNBS, and they see how they can support it.
Right.
Yeah.
AfriSoko Connect. You are a farmer, and you would like to have your products on the different supermarket shelves. You are being challenged on where to market the produce that you have. Go to AfriSoko Market and get in touch through the processes that are outlined there. And then you start on the journey of getting customers for your product. Let's talk about agrotourism.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, agrotourism is where for visit plans,
okay,
instead of going to the mainstream tourism attractions like Markstone Falls,
right,
City Falls, the zoo and everything,
right,
but here you're coming to learn from the farm, and having fun with it. So I'm so passionate about that.
Right.
And I think the first group that I organized for an agritourism experience, that was I think in 2013.
Wow.
Before I started an agritourism business.
Right.
And it was an idea to see whether people will pick interest. Mm-hmm. Normally, just to share with our viewers that before I do anything, I try it out.
Right.
And get feedback. Then I can invest it. So I organized with Amos Wekesa.
Yes.
He's the most influential tourism person we know in Uganda, and he's running a tour and travel company. So I told him we can do this together. So he said, okay, I have a big network, let's mobilize. Create a flyer, we post it on my social media, and you see. So we got a big number, full bus, and it was just one day to go to the world.
Wow.
And have the experience. So after that, you know, we had people from Rwanda who came, Ugandan, people from Kenya, just because they saw that as an opportunity to come and visit a farm and land. Just one day. And people paid their money. We went to the world, we had a very good experience, taking this food from the farm, plates, because while you're there, we should always prepare a very nice meal. Locally grown foods, you know,
right.
And sometimes we can always tell the farmer, no, we're bringing visitors, we're going to host us today, prepare a nice meal, you know. So you're having a meal with them,
yes.
So they had a very good experience. And since that time, I said, I think agritourism is the way to go,
right?
So I gave it 2 years trying to do a feasibility study and all that, yeah. And then I started Mulima Safaris and Agritourism,
right?
Which is doing well, I should say,
yeah.
And our focus is agritourism.
Right.
When these other clients come, want to give us business or going to the market, and we say it's okay. But at least we incorporate an hour on a farm. Either it is in Pakwach,
right.
Or as on there, we're coming from Marching Falls, at least stop by Sulma for 1 hour.
Right.
We don't want to forget,
forget that
niche that we have. Yeah. As, you know. So agritourism is, and right now everyone is doing it.
Right.
It has opened doors. So anyone out there whether you have a farm or you want to start an agritourism, here you can guide the process.
Right.
Because there are certain things that actually you need to set out to see that we call you an agritourism farm. There are things you need to put in place. And through different people, we started the agritourism network to see how we can support the agritourism sector to grow, but also to tap into the different opportunities. India right now, we talk about agritourism, it's over. And we want to replicate that in Uganda. Because we have the potential of agritourism in Uganda. We have the farms. But we just need to change people's mindset that don't only grow, but also people can visit here and pay you.
So another revenue.
Another revenue stream. Because during school time, and right now the curriculum has changed. We focus more on agriculture. Last year, we got a number of schools coming to the world from Kampala.
Wow.
To come and visit. And that's a fee.
Yes.
You're coming 300 plus. That's some good money.
That's
you're going to, you know, prepare them a small meal. And with the kids, you don't eat a lot.
Right.
Prepare a small meal. They have a meal. They have some games on the farm. And that's it. You know. So it has the potential. And it is growing up. Many farms are now opening, saying, okay, schools can come in. Corporate people can also come and have retreats on a farm, you know, and have an experience. So that's an added, you know, value for you as an entrepreneur or a farmer.
As a farmer,
yeah.
Wow.
Because before, for example, at Sulma, people would just come. Come on, you know, come and learn. And we're not charging. But some people are saying, but the knowledge that you're giving yourself is worth being paid for.
Right.
And you say that. It's coming from you. Then we should start charging, and that's how we charge different packages. We have different packages, depending. We're open to negotiate and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What challenges have you faced along the journey as a farmer?
I can't say there are many, but in terms of costs, of managing an export business. Costs are very high. I think that's number one. Because you find if you're exporting, the freight or transport charges are too high.
Right.
there. But we're happy that now Uganda Airlines is opening, going to Dubai. Then we find that the cost, at that time, the Emirates, you know, the costs were very high. And yes, still they're very high. So that's what also makes the product that side to be quite expensive. And also, in terms of another challenge, I should say, is access to finance.
Yes.
Because as a family business, we are Muslims,
mm.
and we know anything related to interest
yes.
on the money from banks, it's a no from our side. But we see now opportunity with Salam Bank opening in Uganda.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity because yes. You know, with our faith, we don't normally go for those loans. Interest,
yeah.
Always those Islamic loans that actually we want. Those are where we explore.
Yeah.
But I should say all the investment that have been in the world at Suma were actually family savings for the last many years. You know, brother says, "Oh, I have this. You know, let's put this. Let's invest this." So and so says this, and that's how we have built the business because we are together. You know, we are together, and we are seeing the future of this business.
Right.
But if we didn't see the future and had hope in the business, we would be actually, you know, doing other things. But that's how we invest. But also, everything revolves on the money. You know. Challenges.
Money.
Certification is very expensive.
Yeah.
If we had to certify a farmer to be organic, we're going to spend around 9,000 US dollars.
Wow.
If we certify in 20 farmers, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That explains why the certified organic farmers within your towns that are supplying to you, towns that you're opening markets for,
yeah.
Just a fraction of the different farmers that you support.
So our challenges revolve around money.
Around money.
But now with the Salam Bank opening in Uganda,
okay.
yeah. there are many people who come, say, we have the money. But when they talk about interest, we say, okay, let's stop there. Let's stop there. But we have worked with also very many development partners who are supporting smallholder farmers who come and say, okay, we're working with the farmers, we can give you some small grants. Train the farmers, keep them, you know, up to the speed. So we are taking that, but
right.
that is always for the farmers,
right?
To offer them the capacity and all that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The advice I would give, because I think from my entire time after school, I've worked with young entrepreneurs. Supporting them, mentoring them. And this is one thing I always tell them, start small. Start with what you have.
Most of them don't have land. They don't have the factors of production.
Start with what you have. That's the most important thing. You don't have the money?
No.
You have the land? Then, once you have the land, but the most important thing, you have the brains.
Okay.
So the brains will drive you to what you have.
Right.
If you don't have the money, the brains will guide you to where to get the money.
Right.
In the right field. Either you'll go to your dad, to your mom, to say, yeah, I want to start this, and let me get 2,000, I want to, you know, to buy seeds so I can plant them. So, start small, be consistent,
right.
and that drives back to the passion. Because many young people come to agriculture today for 1, 2, 3 months. It's not working, they say. In Uganda, they say, Vigani. You know, I failed. Then they say, our culture is a lot.
Right.
Because you didn't start it right. I always tell people a practical activity that if you have 1 acre and you want to do something on them, don't plant the whole 1 acre with one particular crop. Because you're a first time young farmer, you don't know how a tomato grows. How long will it take? You don't know how maize and all that. So divide the 1 acre into two different crops on it. But in your mind, you're studying each one of them. Then after, when you've harvested all of them, you see, okay, I invested in this quarter of tomatoes and I've gained this. OK, Okay. So that means is if I plant an acre, this is what I'm doing. If I planted cabbages and this is, so it gives you an idea to plan the, that if I'm going to big commercial agriculture, at least I started somewhere and I've learned. Yeah, and the other thing is getting guidance, getting mentors to support their journey. Those mentors are there to really work with you and guide the whole process and even see how you can further develop yourself. Yeah, that's the thing.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, with Suma Foods, I think we are seeing ourselves as pioneers. We shall be pioneers in the organic space.
Right.
One that is delivering good quality products internationally, but also bring new innovations in the agriculture space. I think that's where we want to see. But also having more smallholder farmers that we are working with, not only in the central part, but also looking at also other regions. Because Suma Foods doesn't only deal in fresh fruits and vegetables and the dry, but also we're into honey processing. So I think getting more beekeepers on board who can supply us, because at the end of the day we want to sustain the market. Yeah, as Africa Agribusiness Academy, I think since 2010 we've been in existence, so we want to impact as many entrepreneurs as possible, but also penetrate into other countries.
Right.
Because right now we're in 6 countries, but we want to have other countries. West Africa, we want to tap into the West African entrepreneurship ecosystem, but also seeing how we can actually support further these small and medium companies. One, to access financing, but also the networking amongst the countries that we are working in.
Yeah.
And with Afrisoko Connect, I think our vision is to be the market leaders in supporting these small and medium companies, but also the farmers, to see that market is not a problem. We shall do that.
Thank you. TBN is proud to partner with Salma Foods, with Afrisoko, and Africa Agribusiness Academy. Thank you for watching. Feel free to share this podcast with your colleagues who will be interested in joining agriculture, and reach out to us. We are more than open to help you in your entrepreneurial journey. Thank you. Till next time.